This is March 11th, 2018, and good things are happening. The devil's not happy about it. I have one of the things to bring this morning that I put ahead, and it won't be the last time. I want to read a couple of scriptures before I get to it. In 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, in verse 17, Paul says, "We are not as many who corrupt the word of God." This is way back in his day. We are not as many who corrupt the word of God. So it was already a practice. But of sincerity, as of in God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And then down in chapter 3 and verse 6, it says that, speaking of, you know, that God has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And what we don't understand is that this Bible can be used as a letter, or it can be turned into spirit. And if it is interpreted by men, it will be a letter. But if men will allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it for them, it becomes spirit. And so Jesus said, he said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life." They're spirit and life. And so then the question is, and so now we got to think about it a little bit. The question is, what makes it spirit? What makes it letter? Well, God is the one who, you know, Jesus says that I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And he also told us in the 4th chapter of John, he says, God is spirit. God is spirit. So because God is spirit, and I only speak what the Father tells me to speak, I am speaking spiritual things. No. It makes sense. And so, this I just read where Paul said, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So if we take this and interpret it with our natural mind, it'll end up killing us. But if we somehow, by faith, engage the Holy Spirit and let Him interpret it for us, we'll get spirit out of it. Yes. Makes sense? Yes. Okay, now, the thing that has happened to me, and you know what? I may be the only one here that doesn't know that or didn't understand it. The thing that I didn't realize is that this really is the Word of God. This really is the Word of God. And it's the Word of God because God did it in a such a way that he has fooled a lot of people. The Bible says that in days past that God spoke to the fathers, the Jewish fathers, through the prophets. Who did the speaking?
The fathers didn't speak. It's God speaking through them.
Well, it says in 2 Peter, it says that that God spoke through holy men of old. He spoke through holy men of old. So God used the voices of men to speak, but God did the speaking. Mm-hmm. Can he do that? In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, by his Son, through his Son, of his Son, however we want to say it. And so Jesus is called the expressed image of the invisible God. And I want to say, okay, let's change that. Let's call him the expression image. See, we think because we're human, and because we have eyeballs, and we think that we have to see to believe, or we have to see to understand, or whatever else, that when God said, see, God is invisible. So he says, he made man in his image. That doesn't equate. How can we be in the image of an invisible God? So Jesus comes along, who is now, you know, something we can relate to, and it calls him the expressed image of the invisible God. And I'm thinking that that's what God is wanting, or what he made us to be, was expressions of him. The image part is expression. We are to be, and so what does he do? He says, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And in this new covenant, I'm going to write my word in your minds and on your hearts. So you'll, on the fleshly tables of your hearts. It says, and I'm not sure, I think it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians as well. And so anyway, the words that we have here are of spiritual nature. Everything in this, in the Bible, is of spiritual nature. But we can make it into letter if we want and kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Let's begin.
And so, few there be that find it. Many are called, few are chosen. What makes the difference? Where's the separation? Most people are going to want to figure this thing out themselves. Remember how Thomas was? He said, except I see him, except I touch him, except I whatever else, he says, I can't believe. That's the way we are. That's humanity. That's most churchgoers. And, you know, if I could just see it, if I could just touch it, you know, and because that's how we are. And but God says, no, that's not where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing. There's no touching. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. And so we start listening to the Word of God, and something happens to us. It's something that you can't put your finger on. And people can look at you and they can say, you guys are weird. And we are. You know, I won't disagree with them. We are weird. But at least I am. I don't want to put you in that place. But
we're weird too.
Yeah. And anyway, and what has happened is somehow, supernaturally, God has changed my understanding of this thing, so that I'm realizing that by my be listening to the scriptures, a faith nature is developing in me. I have not reached this place, but I want to tell you something. I can feel it. I can feel an hour coming when it's not going to be uncommon to pray for people and see them healed. But it won't be the desire. It won't be our thing. We won't have a healing ministry. There isn't such a thing anyway. There was never a healing ministry in the Bible. There was never a deliverance ministry. These signs follow the believers. That's the way God set it up. What we did, because we have to see, we got to touch, we have to go by our senses instead of by the Spirit. We have to see something happen. Do you follow what I'm saying? And God didn't set it up that way. That's the Lord nature. That's the problems that we have as humanity. And so So anyway, and at some point here, I'm just going to cite a set, and you can fill in. But anyway, I there's a lot more, but it don't come to my mind at the moment. I want to read you one scripture, and then you tell me what you think. It's in Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4. Okay, you ready? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, are you following me? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. For God is not in all his thoughts. And I thought, you mean to tell me that somebody is labeled as wicked if God is not in all their thoughts? That's what it looks like, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm not through.
I had a dream a couple of nights ago. I was in a bus or an airplane someplace sitting with people around me. I wanted to read John 20. And the devil, I couldn't see him, but he felt like the same effect of a person trying to, would not let me read John 20. And again, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see a person, but it was the same, like, you know, grabbing your book or whatever, or covering your eyes. So, anyways, I didn't read it. I played it. I'm on the phone right away, and I don't know. I was like, oh, is that it? But there was this one word, and I'm not going to read it right away, but there was this one word that I didn't see before, but I'm going to read the whole, not the whole chapter. You know when he says, Jesus, the room being shut, he stood in the midst of them. That happened twice in a row. It happened the one time, and then it happened again with Thomas. It happened twice. I thought it was just the one time. Anyways, you know, when he has said this, he showed them his hands and his... I'm going to go back. Then, the same day at the evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the door was shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. So this is the first thing that Jesus said to his disciples after he rose from the dead. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained. And the word of God is... And when he has said this, he breathed on them. And when he, you know, when he's not breathing, doesn't take in a breath, he must have blew on them. He must have kind of deal. And I saw that. And I just thought that was amazing that Jesus stood there and just blew on his disciples. And they received the Holy Spirit. Then again, you know, then Thomas came. Anyways, I just want to pray. I said, Father, as you sent your son once to his disciples, and he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, Father, I ask you to send your son again to us, to breathe on us, Father, to receive, so we can receive the Holy Spirit, Father, and peace. Father, I ask you to give us peace through Jesus. And again, Father, I repeat myself, I ask you to send your son, to blow his breath on us. And yes, we want to receive the Holy Spirit, Father. We want to be surrounded by your Spirit, Father. Let that every thought about all day long is you, is in the midst of every thought. Father, I just ask you, like a little kid wants something marvelous, Father, I ask you to give us your Holy Spirit. Amen.
I just want to let some of you who aren't at the meeting when some of us guys have been getting together. This is what happened last Wednesday, is all of us all felt the need to pray what Pablo just prayed. And we just felt like the time is coming that we need his Spirit to fall on us. And I know that's what's affecting. And Pablo was real affected by that. And so we all prayed that night, just as not quite the same as what Pablo prayed today. But so the rest of you, let that be an encouragement, and let that be in your prayers also. And once we're all praying, you know, in agreement, I think it's going to bring something about. So I just wanted to add that.
The thing that we need to understand is what happens is, because we're human, and we see what happened in the book of Acts and how they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, that we associate receiving the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. We associate it. And it's like, well, that's what we want. That's what's going to happen. But you know that we have a number of incidents and things in the Scripture to show us that that's not actually the total picture. And they received the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts. But a few chapters later, there was persecution upon them, and they got together and they prayed. And they said, Lord, deliver us or whatever, and do these mighty things by your holy child Jesus. And it says the place was shaken where they were at, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought they were already filled with the Holy Spirit. Like Luke 11:13, one of my, we were talking about last week, and that has had a major impact on me years ago. And always will. But anyway, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts into your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? How much? Well, how much are we talking about? Jesus had it without measure. How much is that? How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I must have got all there is. Are you following what I'm talking about? There is an unending supply from God. And so the thing is, while we're sitting here being kind of defeated sometimes because we, you know, they don't think that we got what we're supposed to be getting or so forth. God just, he said, just keep asking and I'll just keep on giving it. Just keep on asking, I'll keep on giving it. But I tell you, the thing about it is, God is not reluctant to give us the Holy Spirit. We're the ones that are reluctant to keep on asking. But Lord, I didn't speak in tongues. Did he say anything about that in Luke 11:13? Or did he say anything about it in that scripture in 20, you know, where Jesus breathed on him? It's a spirit that we want. It's a spirit that we need. And let's not worry about some of these other things that trip us up. Do you follow me? We just ask him. You know? I'm going to move closer to the pulpit.
I wasn't too keen on that scripture that Keith brought from Psalms 10. I guess what I say is, count me as wicked. You know? But I do know what I want to be. And that's not wicked. You know, a couple things. The whole business of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, we're spirit-filled Christian, you know, that's a spirit-filled church. You know, we throw that term around. But imagine to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My. Just think what you could do being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, what's the big difference between Jesus blowing and, you know, and conferring the capacity to be able to either not forgive and then they're, you know, or the sins are retained if they're not forgiven. You know, that's a bad one. But you know, we must not discount these things. Hey, filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, that's true. Filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no place for disease in anything that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think, you know, it would be just plain nuts for there to be a man with $10,000 in his pocket who's hungry and says, I just don't have it. Remains hungry because he doesn't think he has money to buy any food. You know, that's nuts. That's nuts. You know? In that same way, what a pity it would be to not exercise what's available to us. You know, put that thing to use. Anyway, let's take those words at face meaning. You know, with some limitations. But no. Don't pay attention to the limitations. Take that thing at face meaning. And if you are a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, act like it. Maybe nothing too much will happen when you breathe on someone, but I don't care. Act like it anyway. You know, keep acting like it, and things are going to happen. I'm pretty sure. You know, the day is coming that Keith is, that we're all expecting, you know. When I was in jail, there was a guy who was saying, a Christian fellow, said, fake it until you make it. And with some modifications, fake it until you make it.
do. It's not faking it. It's acting in faith in some way. Faith it, maybe, until you make it. Whatever the deal is. But whatever. Don't shortchange your capacity. That's, if anything, do whatever the opposite of shortchanging it, overchanging it, or whatever. Let's do this thing. Do the stuff. Like John Wimber said, do the stuff. And we don't want to work it up in the natural. And I suppose you can interpret it. But no. Don't work it up in the natural, but don't shortchange it either. So, on a little different note, we talk about, we use the word sermon and message kind of interchangeably. He's going to bring the message. Well, what a message is? Message is a thing that someone writes down a piece of paper, and they hand it to the messenger, and the messenger runs, and then he delivers it to whoever, the message is for. So the whatever's in that message gets conveyed to the person it's delivered to. You treat that idea as, so the message that is brought by the minister, the messenger doesn't do his own writing along the way. He just delivers the thing. He doesn't, Well, we throw that word around, and I'm not sure it is always a message. I think the message gets delivered by the guy that wrote the message. And so we're a little bit, maybe a little too indiscriminate in use of that term, the message. It's a nice holy word, but it's also maybe kind of a lie, A lot of it is the messenger is also the one that wrote the message. And hey, praise the Lord if it's the Lord, it truly is the word of God that is being delivered in this message. That it's the words of the words of God that merely get conveyed by the preacher, but. Maybe not. Probably not.
I was telling the guys Wednesday, I'd saw a little thing on one of the channels, and it was about Billy Graham. I thought, I'm going to go there and just see what it was. Well, I didn't get to see it from the beginning. But I was really affected because, now this is back in when he was young, and he felt he was called when he was I think he was still a teenager maybe. So I was in the 30s or 40s, because he was born, quite a bit earlier than us. And so when he was called and he was excited, but then all of a sudden, a lot of his friends and stuff started saying, we're not sure that this is really the Word of God. I mean, it's got a lot of good stuff in it, but it's like there's things that just don't seem to line up. And so there was this huge thing coming that, maybe we can't say this is all the Word of God, the true, and so that even back then there was this thing going on. And so he really struggled with that, and he went in prayer, and he was, he wrestled for quite a long time, and then all of a sudden or whatever, his final decision was, no, this is the Word of God. And that's when his ministry started. And it showed excerpts of him. And what affected me was, and take this in the right way, because nothing I've ever did or said that's been of God is from me. You know that. And neither is it from you when God speaks. But what happened then is he had such intensity and conviction that I was listening. It's like, well, how could you argue? I mean, and when he spoke, you know, he always conveyed strongly that God loves you, but he also said, you're a sinner. How much is that going on today? Because his whole thing was, yeah, you're a sinner, but because God loves you, he has an answer for you. Repent and receive his Son, Jesus Christ, and you've got eternal life. And when he was speaking, there is just this, I mean, and it wasn't like this nice, quiet, you know, Billy Graham. I mean, he was intense. And I know God because of, I felt that same thing up here. And it was at a time I knew when I was feeling strongly about this Word of God and how much we needed truth at that, you know, more so at that time for some reason, you know, whenever that was, months ago, a year ago, whatever. But I thought, that's what I don't want to lose. You know? And it was like, with him there was no argument, and he didn't care who he said it to. I mean, he sat with people, famous people, presidents, whatever. He had interviews with like Donahue, and he would just keep laying it out. And Donahue was trying to trick him and follow him up, and he'd just keep going back to the message, you know, and just say, well, I'm sorry, but you know, you could use this too. I mean, he was not afraid to keep speaking what he knew at that time was truth, you know. And that salvation was for whoever would repent. And God wants you, you know. He loves you. And he did that across the world. And his message never changed when he went to China or behind the Iron Curtain or wherever. You know, it was always the same kind of. And now, I think we've come to see that to the message, there's some follow-up that could have happened, but hey, I don't know why God didn't do that with him. You know, like, he didn't press for the Holy Spirit, you know, and stuff like that. Kind of like maybe John the Baptist. He had a certain thing that was required of him, and that's what he did. And then, you know, and then after came Jesus, you know. So, but what really struck me is I thought, you know, this thing about God is dead and all that kind of stuff and was in the 60s maybe, but it's like this thing had started back in the 30s and 40s where they were starting to dispute whether the Bible was truly what it's kind of professed to be, you know. Well, now we've come to know, and it's like this is the follow-up again. God wants this message out. This is the Word of God. And this is truth, and this is your eternal life. And so, I think there's going to be lots of Billy Grahams going out here in the days to come, you know, only with a whole new anointing and message and a much probably deeper, well, I don't want to judge him, but a deeper foundation in a sense for the whole Word of God, you know, everything that's involved. So, you know, I just say, yeah, we just got to keep being encouraged and have hope and have a vision and pray for this Holy Spirit to come and fall on us and in us and do whatever it needs to do, you know. And you know, what happened a little was we were sharing Wednesday a little bit about, you know, how in the past the things that had happened. And I know I shared, and, you know, kind of to Paul because he wasn't here at the time. I said, there is, and I'll keep saying that, there is nothing more fulfilling, and just then when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you know it's there, it's just like there's nothing else that equals that in this world. And that, I know that's, and others shared the same thing, and I know that's why Pablo got excited, because he wants that. And I want it back again. You know, it's a glorious place when God's Spirit comes, you know. And it's not to say that it's not with us now, but you know that we know that there's more. I mean, and but you also got to be able to handle it in a sense. You know, you got to be in a place where it doesn't carry off into fanatic situations and whatever. You got to toe the line, still having this glory on you. That's, you know, because I know during those times, like Keith has said to me, I wasn't thinking about hunting or nothing. I mean, I was coming from work and I couldn't wait to get here, you know, and pray and be caught up in the Spirit, you know. And that went on for a long time. I mean, there was no other extracurricular activities involved, you know, except God. And I know that's coming again. I know that's what He wants again. And so, you know, just be encouraged, and let's keep praying and uplifting one another, edifying one another. You know, I had another little thought. Probably in the days to come, you know, we're going to start getting some discernments, maybe for one another. And I was thinking of that, and I thought, you know, the tendency is, if someone says something to you like, well, you know, maybe you should that. The tendency is to go, well, yeah, but what about you? What about these areas in your life? Well, you can't do that. See, God uses discernment as it comes. It's an anointing. It has nothing to do with where the person is. If they're willing to pass on what He's showing them, they're just being obedient. Doesn't mean they're perfected. And so, you know, and I thought, that's what I got to guard against. If someone relates something to me that might set me free in an area or whatever, not to immediately go on the defense and try to point out what's lacking in their life and why don't they take care of them, you know. Just hear it and receive it and act on it, you know, and try to believe that it came from God, you know, and we'll make little mistakes, I'm sure, but, you know, that, and then it says, so, if you see that and maybe somebody made a mistake, be the larger person. Forgive them and go on. You know, be the stronger one if that's who you are. If you're supposed to be more mature, then be more mature in the Lord. You know, so maybe all this is coming because something's coming. And I'm just going to stop at that.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Ignore the Word of God at your own peril. And ignore where you hear the Word of God or the Holy Spirit at your own peril. I have had people who I believe have had the best hearts in the world tell me blah, 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 and I've always accepted it. Didn't necessarily accept that they were anointed when they shared it, but I made sure I was hearing the Word of God. But Brother Ken is exactly right, because we are so quick to judge God's messenger and so slow to listen to God's message. You know, it is really, really... Keith hit it right on the head. You know, there are scriptures that are just... Especially when you hear Old Testament scriptures, because we couldn't do that anyways. And even God came back and said, you can't do this, so I'm going to give you a way that you can do this. So he yanks out a scripture in Psalms, and I go, well, you can't do that either. I am not thinking about God 100% of the time. And by definition, according to the Word of God, I'm wicked. So there you go. I'm wicked. I think it's really a good place if you can accept that, though. Can you say, hey, Lord, I am wicked. By this definition, I am wicked. And that's just one. You want to have a real good time beating yourself up, you can dig and you'll find them. And that's why you see so many people go around and go, yep, I don't know what that is, and I'm putting that over here. It's almost the same book. Nah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to make up a whole new religion that believes these things, but not those. Well, why is that? Well, I don't know how I'll ever get there, and so I think someone just messed up. Because there's no way you should have wrote that, because I can't get there. And all of that's based upon thinking in the natural and not letting God be God. You know, I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to move on me. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I'm not ready for it. And that's probably because God loves me and hasn't given that to me just yet. And seeing how I'm not a hunter or a fisherman, I would argue the whole 80s period where we thought we were really full of the Spirit and did nothing but think about God, I don't see that. I don't get that at all. Because I had no trouble with those things. Now, you would have told me to stop worrying about satellite dishes. Now, that might have been a little different. But just saying, what we get distracted by in this world, you know, and it's not the same for everyone. It's not the same for everyone. Do not forget to give the enemy his due. Because what is something that will trip you up is not the same thing that will trip up your brother. And that's why body ministry is so important. Because I can see clearly how too much hunting and fishing can take you off of the path towards God. You might not see it, but I can see it pretty clearly because the enemy can't get me there. And you can see how sports or television or anything else can trip me up off of where God is. Why? Because it doesn't bother you, and you could see that clearly. So I need you to keep me where I need to be, and you need me to help you. So, when someone just says, God has this for you, do not dismiss that out of hand. Do not ignore what God can tell you, because if he's using someone on earth, someone who's imperfect is trying to show you what God wants you to know. Because you're just not going to find anybody come up to you and go, yep, that person's flawless. And they said, I've got this weakness. In fact, knowing what the little I know about my father and how he does things, you know, God has a sense of humor under that category. Someone who I think probably shouldn't ever make a comment to me about X is exactly who God's going to use to make sure that I'm really paying attention. Exactly the person. Because I'm going to just blow this person off unless I have faith and unless I'm watching with God-like eyes. Because we go through our existence in natural man, natural eyes, and we use our natural brain to try and determine spiritual things. And no matter how you come at that, you just can't make those two work unless you're letting God drive. Unless you're saying, you know, so-and-so just said, you know, I've got this weakness, and it's like, In the natural, I might not see that. In the spirit, I can get there. We need to be open to what God's going to do that way. And we have to be comfortable that no matter how he does that and when that happens, it's not going to make sense, probably not going to be comfortable or enjoyable, Not a lot of us enjoy speaking in tongues out in public, in a public setting. Some of us will say, well, we don't want to be offensive, and we don't want to, cause problems, even if we're in a group of Christians. I mean, I don't know how many of us would just go into a Southern Baptist revival and decide to pray in tongues loudly and fervently. Could be viewed as being not respectful. And so some people don't. On the other hand, it might be exactly what they need to hear and see. So, you know, if you're led of God, then I'd say go for it. If you're doing it just to point out that they're not where you are religiously or in their walk, I would exercise caution, because we're not here to point someone's shortcomings out just because God has given you a little bit more grace than they have. So this is the balance that we're talking about today. Like, when are we going to do things? When is God going to move? When are we going to maybe have more of an outreach? I kind of laugh at that in a way. When it's time to have outreach, there will be no doubts. Because when God wants you to do something, and it's really God, you don't have a question about it. You just do. Which always leaves all those areas in the middle where I'm not quite sure. And if we're listening to His voice, and we're following His word, and we're waiting and having the Spirit of work upon us, even those will start to go away to, I know this is where I need to be. I know this is what I need to do. And I look forward to those days. Me personally, I look forward to days where I have a lot less doubts. Because I spend far too much time wondering right now. I think, I wonder, maybe I should. There have been times when I didn't think, I just knew. I want more times when I know. Because I've put myself where God can talk to me, and I'm hearing what He says, and I'm doing what He wants me to do. That's not a lack of faith, that's an exercise in obedience. Right now I just have too many periods of time where I'm not sure, and I want him more than ever in my heart, so I know exactly what He wants, so I can do exactly what His will is, and I can be exactly what I need to be for anybody else at that moment. Because God does things, it's moments. You can all think back about when it was just a moment where someone said just one thing, and it changed your life. It wasn't a 2-hour beatdown session. It was a comment or a sense or an expression of your heart. And God took that, and that was a seed, and He did what He wanted to do. I'm going on here, but let's talk about the comments about John the Baptist. You know, he had quite the ministry, and it was obviously set up. But it was actually, as the timing as I read it, you know, he was there ministering just a few months before Jesus started his ministry. So his period, or his point where he was effective in following God's plan, was rather short. Yet it was extremely valuable. It set up the new covenant. It is so easy for someone to say, when you look at it in the wrong vein, it doesn't seem like it's anything. If you look at it from God's perspective, it was everything. It was the beginning of the way to eternal life. We tend to fall into that all the time in our day-to-day walk. We fall back to our natural judgment value system instead of just making sure or questioning or asking, where is this on the spiritual plane? God is moving in all of us all the time. The trick is making sure you're listening to Him when it's the right time.
I'm sorry, Corky. I didn't mean to get in a coughing spell. I don't usually have those. I want to make a couple of comments. And one of them is that the devil's main objective is to disqualify the Word of God. That's his number one objective. He started it with Adam and Eve. And we don't look at it, at what he did as the Word of God, but it was. God had told Adam, he said, you can do this and that, but you can't eat of that tree. And so the devil comes along, and he knows that. And he knows, he's probably been studying Eve, you know. And here she is, he's looking at this fruit, whatever it was, and she wanted it. He knew that. And so he said, has God really said? You know what the devil does? Has God really said? Is this really God's word? And I can remember one time a minister asked the question, he says, is this God's word or does it contain God's word? See, that's where Billy Graham, he ran into that. And so, like a ninny, when he said, I raised my hand, it's, you know, it contains God's word. That's wrong. It is God's word. And it takes time for people. You know what? The process of what we have been going through is a thing that is convincing us that this is God's word. Now, it's a strange thing, but faith comes by hearing, that by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, that by the word of God. That's how faith comes. Well, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. And then the next verse, it says, through faith, we understand. You know what? Dominic, try that in the next chance you get in college and tell them, we understand by faith. Tell your professors, we understand through faith. You know what? They'll call in somebody with a white jacket to haul you out. You know what I mean? Because that doesn't make any sense. And yet, Billy Graham and you and I, we're coming to an understanding of things by faith. You can't believe in God except through faith. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. It says he that would come to God must first believe that, or must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It takes faith to believe that if you diligently seek God, he's going to reward you, if there is a God. Yeah, I had to throw that in. You know what I'm saying? Something has to happen to us, somewhere inside of us, otherwise you will never stand up like Billy Graham did. You'll never stand up like we are beginning to stand up. We got a long ways to go. The road is, you know, there's a lot of straight and narrow sections ahead of us. But at the same time, God has caused whatever has happened in us, this thing with receiving the Holy Spirit. What do we need? To as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. What do we need? We need that Spirit. It's not an option. It's a requirement. It's a necessity. If we want to do God's will, we have to be led by the Spirit. And without faith, we can't believe in God. And so something, and faith comes by hearing, not by the Word of God. And so, what happened to us? God dropped something in on us, and we need to go with it. And that's why I've been, you know, wanting to, or this thing that happened to me in the last couple of weeks. I began inside to understand that this is God's Word. I thought, all of these years, and you've been hearing me say all these things, and now you're hearing me say this. I mean, if anybody would have known that this is God's Word, it was me. Oh, yeah. The truth of the matter is, the Scriptures have to explain the Scriptures with the Holy Spirit to it. And so, God is Spirit. The words that Jesus spoke, He said, the words I speak are Spirit and they're life. And so, and God spoke to the Father through the prophets. God spoke to us through His Son. All men spoke to us through men. And so, the words then that I am hearing, that we are reading, what are they? They are our spirit nature. That's why Peter said, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we can become partakers of God's divine nature. We can become expressions of God's divine image by this word, because what happens is, it's like, was it either Charlie or Ken said that with Billy Graham, something happened. You know what? I have been a part of this thing, and I'm sure that Dominic is running into it, but I've been a part of it in college, where there's these ongoing discussions. You know, the Bible, that's not true. Written by a bunch of men. There is no God. You mean, I've been through that. What does that do to you? Let me tell you something. It leaves a little imprint somewhere in your head, in your mind, and in your body. Because you have been hearing it. God is dead. Remember that years ago? It leaves an indelible imprint someplace inside of us. And so then that has to be erased. God has to do something to remove that thing from us. And this has been the process, the washing of water by the Word, you know, the regeneration, the things that keep happening to us. And so, at some point, faith comes. Through faith, we understand. And I'm saying that we are beginning to understand through faith. It has nothing to do with the fact that we can't see God. God's invisible. And that's okay. Whereas that didn't used to be okay, that's okay. I'm fine with that.
You know, when Keith through Dominic... in the picture, I realized, you know, that that scripture, faith is the evidence of things not seen, substance of things, evidence of things not yet seen. You know, the very nature of science is to be evidence-based. You know, you can't just, you have to have evidence of that thing. And the very basis of science is materialistic, real substance thing, you know. And how very odd it is that Paul should have 2,000 years ago be talking about evidence and substance, material, which is the very, you know, that's real modern, or relatively modern. Certainly doesn't go back any 2,000 years. But there is a parallel thing going on. You have your science way of thinking. But really parallel to that is faith. You know, it is, it's, if it is in fact evidence, if it is in fact substance, hey, there's no problem with any contradiction between faith and science, because you have both evidence and you have substance, and that's faith. You know? So, anyway, interesting. I don't know if I'm getting across exactly what I intended to say, but I was struck by that when Keith was bringing what he was bringing.
Well, I got to disagree with you a little bit, Keith, because I believe we can see God. We can see God in His Word. I believe that. You know, I've been reading the Bible lately through the eyes of a blind man. But each time I read it, my eyes are getting a little wider open, a little brighter, and I can see a little more clearly. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And just because somebody says, well, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. Well, I've read a lot of books from cover to cover, but I couldn't tell you anything about them today. You know, and what have they done for me? You know, not a whole lot. But I really do believe that you can see God through His Word.
I'm going to just read a few scriptures, something that I came across. And it's when Judas had already given up Jesus. I want to find this first part. Oh, let's see. So this is about when the chief priests and so forth were coming before Pilate. And therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. I just caught that one little scripture. And then over here, when, you know, the devil was trying to keep up, but he was falling a little behind, you know. And so on the next, this is later on the day of preparation after Christ had been buried. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, now listen to how they put this. "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.'" So, you know, they, in their mind, he was a deceiver. Now, he'd done all these miracles, which they hadn't done. So that's part of the envy, you know. And it goes on to say that, you know, they paid the guards to say that the disciples came and stole them by night, and so that's how he, and so that's the story they still believe to this day. There's only one problem. There's all these witnesses that went on to keep preaching the Word of God, you know? So there's always going to be this you know, like, how can that, you know, the world, how could it have been created by a God? You know, how could it just have happened? And, oh, how could that you know, yeah, this was written by men. But in this book that they say was written by men, it explains how they spoke and how they wrote it. So what do you do with that? You know? But if you don't want to see it, then you're not going to see it. And so, you know, and so to some people out there, when if you hear that the message coming from here, and I'm sure it's coming from many other places also around the world, that there is a Holy Spirit who can lead you into all truth, and you don't want to accept that, you're not going to have all truth. And you're going to think we're nuts and we're making stuff up. But guess what? Who's going to have eternal life? You know? And so, and as Keith started out this morning, many are in the category of evil because, you know, and like many are called, few are chosen. That's a major scripture. I mean, it tells us something. And when it says, you know, whatever, the road is narrow and whatever, but that doesn't matter, because if God wants to get you there, He'll get you there, you know. And I liked what Corky said. When the time is right, He's going to give His Holy Spirit, and we're going to, you know, and it's going to happen. And so we just want to have faith, hope, and pray for it. Ask for it. For the same reason that, well, your father did I, you know. It's a great thing to be asking because you want to receive, and just keep asking. It happened once, twice, three, it'll happen again, you know. So, yeah, just keep in mind that the enemy is, you know, the only problem was, you know, he had these guys, but he was falling a little behind, because all of a sudden Christ did rise, and then all of a sudden he knew he was defeated, you know, and he just had some last days that are left, which are still going on, you know, but, and then, you know, like it was mentioned, you know, it's a long straight path, and it's going to take time. But let me remind you, to the Lord, one day as what, 10,000?
1,000 years.
So we can keep thinking it might be 10 years, and it may be 2 weeks. You know, it may be 2 weeks. So that's what I'm banking on.
So be ready.
Yeah, so be ready.
And I want to say, as weak as I'm starting to get, it better not be too many weeks. But anyway, I'm thankful for what God is doing. And it looks kind of fearful and kind of weary some days, but you know what? God started it. God finishes it. And we've been asking to receive the Holy Spirit. We're asking for more of the Spirit. Yeah, guess what? It's going to happen. God said, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? If you ask, it's going to happen. And we have a lot to do with it, but you know what? God has a lot more to do with it. And I sometimes look at myself and I think, you know, I don't got much going for me. And then I realize, you know what? What's that got to do with it? That has nothing to do with it, you know. Anyone else?
I do have one.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't have to go too far, Keith.
Yeah.
Okay. I intended to bring this before. I'll bring it now.
You know, we know that Jesus walked on water. You know, that's kind of a, you know, yeah, walked on water. I remember Ken's dream. Well, doggone. Ken was called to walk on water. Mm-hmm. It was a real, immediate thing. And I think we are coming to a place. Maybe we walk on water, maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, we're coming to a place where it won't be, yeah, Jesus walked on water. It'll be a place where, right now, and right in this place, we are called on to do something like, and maybe literally, walk on water. You know? So, get ready. I don't know how you get ready for that, but...
In the past, when I think about the Holy being full of the Holy Spirit, my unbelief will always say, "How am I going to make a living?" If I, you know, I mean, or how am I going to do? You know, but you know, first of all, if the Holy Spirit, just a scenario. If I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I need to be, and God gets me busy doing God stuff, I can work for 2 weeks, easy, or whatever, no work. I don't know, but I would be so busy. The disciples were so busy, they didn't have time to eat. So I would save money on food in the first place. And you wouldn't have to be... going to the movies, that takes money, I mean, whatever. Right. You know what? And that's just, I'm being super fleshy about it, but my unbelief always question my, how is the Holy Spirit going to fill me and make things work? But I need to take my brain out of the, how is God going to do it? Because He will do it, and yeah. You know what I mean? Amen. I think Candy wanted to get a baby. You want a baby? Yes.
Let's all stand here. Let's stand here.
Yeah, you
what? Well, I was going to say it's just in the circle, but I was going to get up earlier because it's kind of a jumbled thing, but just a couple of comments. But when Corky was making the comment about... going into a Baptist church or whatever and speaking in tongues or something. And I said, me. And then he clarified and said, well, we wouldn't want to show them or prove or whatever. But for me, ever since I was little, and then there was years that it kind of tucked away in my drawer, you know. But I'm in my life now. I know that God has used me. I know that... I know that God has used me at different times. I know that I've offended people. I mean, I'm aware of all of that, but right now, how I am in my life right now, if I was in a Baptist church and I was worshiping with them, and I started praying, people were praying or whatever, speaking in tongues is so natural for me. It's as natural as me doing my hair every day. I would have to actually start speaking in tongues in my prayer. And then go, oh, wait, do they do that here? Oh, wait. So then I would have to be second-guessing because it's so natural that even every day while I'm getting ready, while I'm everything, this is how I describe it, tongues is like in my head like a loop tape. For many years, I wanted it to be, I asked for it to happen, and I wanted it to be that my heart and my mind were in constant prayer because I was a very, like, every little thing that would happen, you can ask my girls growing up, somebody would fall down, that was my first response. I don't have that. Every day I have my phone. Is my dad going to call? Did my dad fall down? Is my mom coughing to death? Did Angel? I'm so at the point where I have to pray nonstop in the back of my mind, even if I'm doing something, to keep myself alive and prepared for that next oh, you know, whatever. But I was thinking, you know, if somebody, a Baptist person, came into our church and we were all praying and praying in tongues and something, and they got offended and left, I wouldn't follow after them and say, wait a second, did we offend you? I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? And so it's for me, praying in tongues is so much part of who I am that it's just who I am. But the other thing is I wanted to share that it's different times when, like we were saying last service, I think, or something, in the circle, about if you see somebody in public, they've got a backache, you know, pray for them or something. But you know, for many years that was a fearful thing. It was an embarrassing thing when I was little. But now I have learned that there's so many different people that will say something to me, and then I will give them, you know, I work up at Walgreens only 4 hours a week. And those people, I walk in and I know this sounds dumb, but I'm like the movie star of the club when I come in, and it's not me, but they're like, hey, how are you doing? Or, oh, you look so happy today. Or, what good thing happened? They're so interested in, do you have anything? They're like sponges. And so I'm in the back room sorting cards and witnessing and praying for somebody else whose grandma, you know, something. And it's funny for me because it's just really not probably what they're all supposed to be talking about, or it's real, you know, whatever. But they will say, well, you know, I've got this ailment. What would you do? Or, well, I know you pray, so what about this? And it's like, I don't have an embarrassment or a shy anymore, because sometimes even when I've gone to work, I have the stress of something that happened in my life that morning or something that I should be pretty anxious about. And I find that the more that I give out to these people, the more that God fills me with joy. And I feel more, you know, like the Bible says, pray for others that you may be healed. And I feel that just in little things of, the more that you give out, the more joyful you feel, even if you didn't start out feeling joyful in the beginning when it was time to give out. Right? Try it.
Okay.
Well, she has commented that she's a lot like her mother, and I would like to say that over the years, Joanna's not had a problem speaking in tongues wherever she was at. So, no matter what church it's at, or wherever, you know, she's been real free about it, and there's never been a problem. Nobody's ever complained. And when I heard a voice, and I told Joanne, I said, we got to start listening to the scriptures. It's nonstop. And the first thought pattern was, which is common, she said, well, what are we going to do? I mean, we got to eat and sleep and stuff. And I said, no, I'm not talking about interrupting our normal thing, but just keep listening to the scriptures. And the thing about it is, God makes a way. So if he gives us something to do, he makes a way for us to do it. And when we got first filled with the Holy Spirit and out in Seattle and started witnessing and saw things happening, and we stopped some things for a while, but you know what? At a certain point, we were doing them again. We took the kids hunting, fishing when they were little, you know. So anyway, let's come up to the front.